We've been coming here since 1988 to Carnegie Military University. We've been coming here since 1988. We've been coming here protesting since 1984. But we come on Dr. King's birthday because Dr. King was someone who gave his life for not only his fight against racism, but his fight against militarism. Dr. King gave a speech called Beyond Vietnam, and 1 year to the day later, he was assassinated. And so a lot of people like to freeze Dr. King in time at the I Have a Dream speech, but near the end of his life, he was very, very militant and very angry about the direction that we were taking with Vietnam. Now, a lot of people would say that CMU should take Dr. King's birthday off. I don't think that really matters, because whether they take the day off or not, what they need to do is not just celebrate his birthday, but celebrate it by ending the military contracting here at Carnegie Mellon University that is so extensive that the provost said that it would take 2 years just to categorize all the military contracting at CMU. Right now we're in an economic depression. We have things like the AIDS epidemic that is in want of research. But this university, as an expression of higher education, has decided that they would spend their time trying to figure out new ways to kill the enemy de jure, the latest enemy of the United States of America. And so we stand out here every January 17th or whatever date the observed holiday falls on, and to say no to the military contracting at CMU, and to say that the celebrations today at CMU about Dr. King's birthday have missed the mark. This is an open mic, and we invite anybody to come up and to talk about Dr. King, about peace, about CMU, about racism. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Tim Vining. I'm the director of the Thomas Merton Center. And I've been thinking a lot this past week as we celebrate the life and the legacy of Dr. King about the intersection of racism and this war and how that plays out in this country and abroad. And let's be honest, this is a war being fought for white America. The majority of African Americans never did support this war because there's a keen sense in the communities of color in this country of who's benefiting and who's sharing the burden of this war. When you think of the number of people of color who are recruited so heavily by the military, that's the only option out of poverty is to go off and kill another brother or sister, then we have deep problems. And I think that's what Dr. King is referring to when he says there's a spiritual crisis and we need to save the soul of America, both in undoing racism and in speaking out for peace. I've often thought a lot, too, because I know at 2:30 there's going to be a forum on campus, and it's going to bring together people who have been victimized and have been oppressed because of sexual orientation, along with those who have been real involved in anti-racism work in the civil rights movement. And I think that also is so important, because one thing that the powers that be, especially those few who benefit from a war like that in Iraq, can do to keep this dysfunction going is to divide us. And I think, too, you know, as a gay man, I think about how disappointing when I see supports of the gay movement fight for the right to kill in the military. And somehow, if that means acceptance in American society, that we're willing to join the war effort, and that our equality and notions of equality gets tied in with the right to kill someone. And then I also think about how people of communities of color, especially churches, get targeted to keep going after that the civil rights movement for others is not their fight. It's not their civil rights movement. Same-sex marriage fights have nothing to do with other issues of oppression. And again, it's another attempt to divide. And so I'm happy to see that this campus is bringing the communities together and not to be divided. And I think part of Dr. King's dream, his dream is that all who are oppressed and all who have been victimized by this society can come together as brother and sister, in all honesty and without arrogance. that those of us who are white and privileged because of our white skin color can look in the eye an African-American brother or sister, and when the police in this city target a young man of color, we can look that brother in the eye, look that sister in the eye, and say, brother, sister, we have a family problem. And we have to do something, that when the police dehumanize anyone in this community, they dehumanize all of us, and the soul of Pittsburgh is being destroyed. And that part of Dr. King's dream is that a heterosexual individual can look at a gay brother or a lesbian sister and say, brother, sister, we have a family dysfunction, and we need a real revolution of family values. And also, one day, that Dr. King's dream opens up the possibility, if we seize the opportunity, it opens up the possibility that an American citizen can one day, without arrogance and in all honesty and with fullness of compassion, can look an Iraqi resident in the eye and say, sister, brother, together we're going to rebuild the communities devastated by this war. So happy Martin Luther King Day. I know he's been a source of inspiration and hope for me, and those who continue the struggle, frankly, are the only hope and inspiration we have. And that maybe one day, the dream will be realized that we'll live together in peace beyond skin color, beyond sexual orientation, beyond gender, that we'll truly live together in peace and save the soul of America, and not only the soul of America, but save the life of the planet as a whole. And it's up to us. And the only hope I have is those who take on the challenge and the dream of Dr. King, which wasn't about just getting together and singing Kumbaya. It was really about transforming this society to one that's truly just. So peace, everyone, and I'm glad you all are out here. Thank you for being here.
Hi, everybody. Steve Donahue with the group Save Our Transit, but I ain't gonna talk about buses today. When I think about Dr. King, and I think about Vincent, you know, when he said we like sometimes to freeze King at a certain spot, like it, I have a dream. And we all know that Dr. King's became more controversial as he got older and as he began to connect the dots. And when I think about Dr. King these days, I think about a guy who I think in the true sense we could say was a true radical. I mean radical in its definition of being rooted, getting to the root of the problem. The word coming from our word radish, coming from radical. And he began to see, as he got older, that the root of the problem wasn't just institutionalized racism, wasn't just bigotry, but it was a whole culture that was built on issues of privilege and how a white power base maintained that privilege. He began to look at economics. And if he hadn't been dead, he would have been there involved in the Poor People's Campaign. I remember when all the huts were set up on the mall in Washington, D.C., shortly after his death, when Reverend Abernathy took over the movement. And I think Dr. King was great in that he was able to connect the dots, and I think that's what made him so dangerous. You know, I think about a guy like Bayard Rustin, who was a big hero of mine, who, when the Vietnam War started, and this is a guy who went to jail in World War II, resisting the draft, but by the time the Vietnam War came around, he couldn't take a stand against it. He did not take a stand against it because he was afraid of how it might irritate folks like Hubert Humphrey and some others in the Democratic leadership. So it becomes a real issue when we don't connect the dots, when we don't get down to the root, when we're not radical. And I think that's what finally got Dr. King killed. It wasn't just that he stood up to good old-fashioned bigotry, which was so prevalent in the South. It wasn't because he stood up to the Klan. It wasn't because he worked only to get buses open to people of color so that everyone could sit where they wanted, lunch counters. It wasn't just confronting Jim Crow. If it had been that, heck, he might still be alive today. But he's dead because he started critiquing an economic system that was based on profit, that maintained privilege, in a system where whites already have privilege. A system based on profit is going to put profits into the pockets of white people. He began to look at issues such as labor rights, and he began in the end to confront a militarism, and he began to speak of the United States as an arrogant nation. And he began to wonder, how long a nation this arrogant? And he was a preacher. So he talked about God. And he wondered how long a nation this arrogant would be accepted and tolerated, and what would happen. I sometimes wonder the same thing when I look at the arrogance in our nation today. The most powerful, the most arrogant, the most imperialistic, the most dreaded nation on this planet. So I think King has a lot to offer us today. And I'm glad to be here, out here freezing my butt off on this Martin Luther King Day. Thanks a lot.
Good afternoon. Thank you all for having me here and allowing me to speak today. I'm definitely here in support of everything you all are doing and what you all stand for. And I actually am here on behalf of an organization called the Citizens Alliance Against Racism. And it's with the same purpose in mind, we're looking for change. And I'll speak briefly here. On the surface, CMU commemorates the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., holding a day of speeches about diversity and peace. Yet, what are their actions? CMU has received hundreds of millions of dollars in U.S. Department of Defense grants and contracts to develop the technology used in weapons of mass destruction. These weapons are designed to kill and kill efficiently. Yet, they talk about MLK Jr. and nonviolence. CMU preaches about unity and diversity and makes official statements about respecting people of different races, yet their own student paper has published racial slurs. President Bush himself appointed Jared Cohen president of CMU to his Homeland Security Advisory Council, and CMU received a Department of Defense grant for $35.5 million to fight cyber terrorism. Yet Jared Cohen has done nothing to stop CMU researcher David S. Terensky from using CMU computers and taxpayer-funded research time to provide potential terrorists with instructions on how to make bombs. There's a website, www.speakupfordiversity.com, which goes on listing lots of inappropriate things that have happened and actions that are requiring change. One quote, alleged quote, by David Teresky says, "The black underclass is a very, very sick culture. AA programs can't help the black underclass because those people are so expletive, they're virtually unemployable." And it goes on. There's a dozen quotes on this website, and it's something has to change. I mean, I need to know what CMU is doing. And today, in memory of MLK, I'm out here to show my support and ask for a change. Thank you.
Okay, does anyone else have anything to share? I know the Irene kids are enjoying the snow and don't seem to be as bothered as we are by the sub-zero weather. Again, my name's Vincent Irene, and me and others have been out here since 1984, and will continue to be out here to ask Carnegie Mellon University to have a warm heart and to disarm. So for those of you who are able to, we're going to leave a little longer, but for the most part, we'll just cut it short for today's Martin Luther King Celebration and Resistance to Military Contracting at CMU. Thank you.
Oh, yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I would like to speak briefly about peace. I don't have anything prepared. I'm a freshman here. But peace, as I understand it, is, I guess it's sort of a cliche, it's a difficult path, and it's not what we're used to. Most people are used to solving problems basically through law of the jungle. The stronger you are, the more say you have, period. We haven't figured out how to solve, because people haven't figured out how to solve problems in a nonviolent way. People haven't figured out how to solve things peacefully. When there is a problem that seems unsolvable, the solution is violence. this is not workable. We need something better. We need another path. We need peace. We need to figure out how to solve things peacefully. If we don't do that, well, you've got it. And it's not going to get much better, I imagine. I mean, maybe it will. But I think we really need people showing other people how to take a path of peace. Leading by example is the idea. We're in a country that, like, I imagine, like most countries, prides itself on being the best nation in the world. And if we really thought we were so good, I think we should be trying to set an example for other people, not going in, what's that phrase Bush used? Preemptive attack. That this is the best solution that the best nation in the world has to offer the rest of the world. We need to set an example. We need to solve things with peace, not with violence. I don't know. We need to set an example. And there's the only people who are going to set an example refer to themselves in the first person, as far as I know. Maybe they use the first third person, maybe they use the second person, maybe they're weird like that, but I'm pretty sure they use the first person. And so it's up to me, in short. And I am the only person who can set an example for others. Thank you.
I'm Evan from FIST, Fight Imperialism, Stand Together, which is a socialist youth group based out of New York, but we have a group from Pittsburgh right now. Well, I want to talk about what Martin Luther King really discovered. He discovered the interconnectedness of all things. Capitalism is not just a national economic system. This is an international problem. The military spending at Carnegie Mellon funds CIA agents in Venezuela to go overthrow the legitimate government of Chavez. It funds the death squads in Haiti to murder children on the street and to overthrow the legitimate government of Jean-Paul Aristide. It funds the Israeli Defense Forces to bulldoze towns and murder millions of civilians in Palestine. It also funds the murderous AUC in Colombia, which is a paramilitary group which attempts to destroy every single FARC military officer who fights for the freedom of Colombia and for a socialist society, which 3/4 of Colombia supports. Now, I urge all of you to go on the bus for January 20th, which is the anti-inaugural demonstration. And I know there's a bus coming from Pittsburgh, and I think you have to contact the Thomas Merton Center for information on this. FIST will be holding a rally there, not separate, but together with the IAC and other groups. And we'd love to have all of you come and join us. So thank you very much.
Okay, anyone else? Going, gone. Again, take some time out to introduce yourselves to each other. It's a different crowd every year. And we want to continue to educate the CMU community about the military stuff going on here and to resist it so the people of Iraq can live. Thank you for coming on Dr. King's birthday.